appreciate you, preacher.
Enjoy having you.
Amen. Always enjoy coming through. Well, good evening, church family. Good to see you this evening. A wonderful day. I want to read our thank you note. We do this just so traditionally. We love to read the thank you notes. So, plus, we love to save. Those stamps just keep going up. You know, we save postage when we do it this way, too. So, dear Dr. Carey and church family, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your summer refresh and revival services. It's kind of how that works sometimes. Amen. And to worship and fellowship together in the Lord and to enjoy the laughter and company of saints. Appreciate your kind care of us throughout our stay, from the wonderful 50 amps for our RV with all the heat and smoke, as well as the use of the facility, to the amazing meals we were treated to. And what a meal again today. We are true to, and the sweet fellowship that accompanied them, such a blessing. Also appreciate the numerous gifts, words of encouragement, and handfuls of purpose many of you showered upon us. So thoughtful and very, very kind. Thank you in advance for the love gift bestowed upon us. We know it will be more than we deserve, and we can only hope somehow we've been as great a blessing to all of you as you have been to us. Already looking forward to our next time together. Until then, may you continue faithful to your King. Oh, for he is coming again soon. All our love and gratitude, Brother Dave and Miss Deb. P.S. Don't forget to buy the truth. And don't forget to breathe. Amen? So, Pastor, now that you're comfortably seated, if you could come up here, I'll give you all this stuff here. And want to go ahead and give you the thank you note. We've got two complete sets of all the sermon outlines that we had, just in case somebody wants to watch them again online. And then want to go ahead, and this is for your wife, a $60 Olive Garden gift card. Used to be $50, all right? But now it's $60. That's just the way this is going, all right? Now, I'm going to hand it to your husband, but this is yours. And the only rope we attach to it, you can only bring one adult of your choosing with you when you go to Olive Garden, okay? So I hope you pick him, all right? We can only hope. All right.
Since she's not driving, she doesn't have much.
Oh, yeah, that's a pin move. Then I want to gift you a couple things. We have, as I mentioned, too, we are adapting our care package program to the troops. You know, DVDs, CDs, they just really can't use them anymore. The CD-ROM drives aren't even in computers. Most of it's downloadable. Most people just operate with their phone and QR codes. So we have coffee coasters. One side is the Corvette. With the QR code that will literally go ahead and do the four and a half minute walk around video presentation of everything on that car. And then on the back side are three videos with this QR code. The first one is when our car went to ground zero on the 7-year anniversary of 9/11 and met Stan Roach with his Vietnam vet. And the story that spun out from that, our two lives. And those two cars kissed under that steel I-beam cross. That was an amazing story Jason Prisk did with cinematography. Second one is how to pass final inspection. I would say this, that is the most powerful presentation of the gospel I've ever seen somebody give. And 15 minutes in it, people will know if they're in or out, and they'll know what they need to do to get saved. And then the third video was Kenny Grant, the chief drill instructor of the Black Marine, who gives three lessons from the drill field. So you and your dear wife, there they are. And then I want everybody here tonight to get one of those, no charge. Make sure you grab one coffee coaster and QR code the different cinematography that's there. Jason Prist did a wonderful job producing that stuff. And then I had been bothered to death about doing this, and I finally did it. A pastor in Kentucky just kicked me out the door, whether I had a shoot on or not, podcast. And so 12-minute biblical truths. Jason Prist does the intro and exit with music, very professionally done. They're just 12 minutes at a time. And so it's called Wisdom from the Word. And right now we add one every week, and we've got 31 on there. And they're just really great, just powerful little thoughts from the Word of God. So be sure each of your families gets one of these cards so you can QR code that podcast and download and use those short thoughts, okay? So there you go. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the New Testament. We've been looking at a series of thoughts entitled By the Truth. And my question regarding truth has been this: do you rent or do you own? And I want to begin tonight looking at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Thoroughly have enjoyed the time. Definitely enjoyed, like Brother Bill mentioned, catching up a little bit on the old days when we were young, newly saved, and how the Lord used a number of people in our lives, Brother Prisk in particular. And never forget this. I think you and I look at that. We enjoy that time, but we become that to others as well as time goes on. We become the mentors as well. And we should. That's a natural process. So be thinking of those under you that you can encourage and mentor for the Lord. Matthew chapter 28. Everybody has an outline? Anybody need an outline? Okay. All right. Matthew 28, verse number 18. Here's our marching orders. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that would be authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now because of that, notice in verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Look at me in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul speaking about this giving of the gospel, the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, speaking about the responsibility to get the good news out, that great commission that Jesus Christ gave to us. Notice what he says in Romans 1 and verse number 14. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Tonight I want to look at a truth that sometimes I think we rent when God really wants us to own. And this truth is this. I want to speak to the power and the propagation of the gospel. The giving of the gospel by God's people. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful we can call you our Father. We pause to thank you for the day. Father, you convicted our hearts of our sin, the judgment that was coming, and Father, you revealed to us not only who you were, but Father, who your Son was. And thank you for the day our faith found a resting place in Jesus Christ alone. We ask in his name now that you would bless our thought tonight as we look at the responsibility to get this good news to a lost and a dying world. Help us to personalize this, and Father, concerning this truth, help us not to just be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but by your grace, help us to be doers of your word. And we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The power and propagation of the gospel, it's a fair question tonight. And I think on a regular basis, we need to ask ourselves, do we rent that truth or do we own it? The giving of the gospel. Well, let's look at the power of the gospel first. Two things I'd like to mention about that in Romans chapter 1, if you have your pens ready. Notice, first of all, the origin of the gospel. Its origin is divine. Write that down. The origin of this good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins, its origin is divine. Notice in verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do you know tonight the gospel didn't come from the government? Amen? This good news we share that Jesus saves didn't come from the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts of America. It didn't come from corporate America. The gospel originated in the mind, the heart of God. And so if it originated, if its origin is divine, why would you be ashamed of something that comes from God? Amen? Its origin is divine. It comes from God. But number two, its operation write it down, is powerful. Its operation is powerful. It's noted, the Spirit of God through Paul notes this in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I'm not into Greek and Hebrew that much. I struggle to figure out English, but I will say this. If you look at the root word, so I've been told, the root word that word power comes from is where we get our word dynamite. Dunamis, I believe, is how it's actually pronounced, but it's where we get the word dynamite. You know, tonight, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the dynamite of God in people's lives. I don't know how farms are now, but when I grew up in Minnesota, every farmer had a crate of dynamite under his workbench. My dad had a crate of dynamite, like you would see gallons of milk in, under his workbench. It wasn't supervised. It wasn't locked up. It sat right there, and any of us could have grabbed a stick of dynamite as children. I mean, every time I went into the workshop, there it sat right there, unguarded, unsupervised, unsecured, and I could have had a lot of fun with that. You say, well, what kept you from doing that? Let me tell you something. Dynamite will kill you quickly, but Dad will kill you slowly. And I was more afraid of my father than I was the dynamite. Amen? He said, don't you touch that. You wish you never did. Don't you ever touch that. That's all he had to say. But boy, I figured out as a kid when we got to use that with Dad, man, that stuff was powerful. I mean, we would use it to blow boulders out of the fields that we were planting our corn and soybeans and oats in. We would use it to blow up roots of trees out of the woods. We lived in a big duck slough. We lived next door to a duck slough. It was just down below the tracks, about a mile wide, a half mile by a mile. In those duck sloughs, you had about a foot and a half of water and 3.5 feet of mud. And boy, to launch a duck boat, you had to pull that thing for like 250 feet through mud to get that launch. But man, you had dynamite, changed everything. You could set that dynamite about every 10 feet, and dynamite, we'd just set about 20 sticks of dynamite about 10, 15 feet apart. And when you light the first one off, the concussion will daisy chain those things. And man, it just blew a giant trench through the weeds and the mud, and pew, the water would come right in. Man, there was that duck boat landing. I watched dynamite do amazing things. I saw its power. And may you and I never forget, what changes lives is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Religion doesn't do that, but Jesus Christ will, through the good news that Jesus saves. And you don't have to figure it all out. I didn't know how dynamite worked then. Man, I just knew all you had to do was light it and chuck it, and whoa, look at what happens. And you know, sometimes we worry too much about, would you light it and just chuck the gospel? Just give it to people. It changes lives. It changed your life. And it can change others as well. This gospel, its origin is divine, came from God. This good news that Jesus saves, the operation is powerful. It changes lives. But second of all, notice the propagation of the gospel. Look at the mandate right here in Romans chapter 1. Notice the mandate, Romans 1, verse 14. He says, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, Paul says. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, when we look at the giving of the gospel, there's a couple of things that need to be noted here. Number one, this mandate, this giving of the gospel, first of all, write it in your notes, is a debt to be paid. Write that down. Paul notes it. It is a debt to be paid. In other words, we owe this to others. He says, I am what? Verse 14, debtor. Now, you know what that tells me about the giving of the gospel? Don't miss this. That's a have-to thing, whether you like it or not. I just wrote a big check to Uncle Sugar for taxes. And let me tell you something about that. When I wrote that check, I didn't particularly like writing a check. But a man's got to do what a man's got to do, amen? And part of it is you pay the debt. I didn't really like writing a check, but I'm glad I did it, amen? And if we wanted to give the gospel only when we feel like it, I don't think we give the gospel very often. Could I get a witness there? You know, sometimes it's something that you just have to do whether you like it or not. He noted it was a debt to be paid. That's a have to. Whether we like it or not. I found the hardest door to ever open to go talk to people about the Lord still the car door. You know what I'm saying? If I'll just step out and go there. I was with Scott McFeeters here at the end of January. I flew in for a meeting at Greater Portland. And Scott, I stayed right in the home with him. It's not normally how I do it. And sometimes that can be really good or really bad. But it was really good. He had a couple of little kids and we had a ball together. But I flew in and he said, hey, brother, after we finished the conference, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, he said, hey, let's go out and do some door knocking. Weather sunnied up. It was very pretty. And so we went out for 2.5 hours to Portland, downtown Portland, knocking doors, giving the gospel. Now, you can understand my attitude when I went. When Scott said that, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you? I mean, okay, hold on. Let me go ahead and get my collar. Let me get my Marine Corps. You know, I mean, this is combat ops. I was not looking forward to it. I did it because I had to. I'll be very frank with you. I went with Scott, the pastor, because I had to. I'm not as spiritual as you think I am. You're not as spiritual as you like me to think you are either. But the point is, I had to. And so, okay, I'll go. Yeah, he's giving me a love offering. I don't have a choice. You know what I mean? And we went out for 2.5 hours. I'm going to tell you, that was unbelievable, some of the open hearts and open doors we ran into. I'll never forget the best one. 54-year-old man met us at the door. And this is how Scott McFeeters goes door knocking. Guy opens the door or says, yeah. He says, I'm Scott. This is David, Greater Portland Baptist. We're just out telling people about Jesus. Would you like to hear about him? That's how he does it. It's so refreshing. You know, and this guy says, you know, as a matter of fact, I would. And he steps out and closes the door. A trucker found out as we began to talk to him 8 months earlier. Guy stoned out of his mind, wanting to commit suicide, stepped out in front of this guy's semi, phew, and got creamed. The guy says, boys, he said, I have not driven a rig since then. Man, I'm messed up. Psychologically, I replay that thing. He said, I have not been able to get in a truck, and I'm looking for help. My wife just started visiting a church just a week ago, and we're thinking maybe that's where we'll find the answer. And yeah, I'd like to hear about Jesus. Wow. You know this giving of the gospel, first of all, it is a debt you're supposed to pay. Whether you like it or not, it's a have to. It's just part of giving the gospel. But second of all, it's bigger than that. Because notice, it's not just a debt to be paid. Jot this in your notes. It is good news to be heralded. It's not just a debt. That's a have-to thing. That's obligation. You know what I'm saying? But it is also good news to be heralded. That now is no longer an obligation. That's an opportunity. Amen. That's not a have-to. Now it becomes a want-to. Notice he says this in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the what? Gospel of Christ. The word gospel means good news. Now, I don't know who you are, but I can promise you this. You love to share with others good news. Amen? Could I get an amen there? See, this is who I am. Phone rings, and one of my kids will be on the line there. Hey, Dad, how's it going? Yeah, great. You're a grandpa again. Woohoo! Yeah, you know those words, right? Yeah, that's great, you know. And so what happens is we talk, get all the vital statistics. I said, oh, man, this is great. I'm going to call my mom and let her know she's a great grandma. And all of a sudden, as I'm getting ready to do this, my wife's hand comes across and stops me. I go, what? She says, you know, maybe that's the news that Kimberly should share with Grandpa, great-grandma, not you. Now, every time she's done that, you know what I do in response? Are you kidding me? I want to be the guy to share that. You know what I'm saying? And you look at the gospel. We're not giving bad news. We're giving good news. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can miss the lake of fire. You can see family again on the other side. You can get the kingdom of heaven and everything that goes with the kingdom. That's not bad news. You say, well, they don't understand. It doesn't matter. It's good news. That's a do I get to? You know? So the giving of the gospel is, number one, a debt to be paid. Number two, I see here Paul notes it, it's good news that we should want to herald. But number three, go to Mark 16, as we see the reconfirmation. The giving of the gospel, the propagation of the gospel, go to Mark 16, look with me in verse 15, is a command from our Savior that you and I ought to obey. It was Jesus Christ that commanded us. Look at with me in Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said unto them, here's the command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to circle two words there because they're going to come up a little later in the message. But notice in verse 15, Jesus was very clear in this great commission to his believers, that we were to go into how much of the world? All. Circle the word all there. That's very important. He didn't command us to go into some of the world. He said, go into all the world and then preach the gospel, that good news, to how many creatures? Every single creature. Speaking of men and women, boys and girls. As we look at this mandate, I automatically think to myself, is the church sufficient? At that time, that church in Jerusalem, was it sufficient to get the gospel to the entire world? But then maybe the better question would be this, who's the church? All right? And I know I'm in the Pacific Northwest, so that is one dynamite-loaded question to throw out. So let me just say this. Let's just boil it down to where it's easy for us to understand. Right now, in this church family in Spokane, who's the church here tonight in this assembly? Is it just the pastor? Yes or no?
No.
Is it just those who would be on staff or have a responsibility here? No, not just the song leader, not just the audiovisual sound man, you know what I'm saying? So who would be the church right now here, Independent Baptist Church in Spokane, who would be the church? Every one of you, regardless of your office, status, or position, who saved, baptized, and a member of this assembly. You're the church. Here in Spokane, this assembly is that local church. Amen? So the question is, at that time, how many churches were there that belonged to the Lord when he gave this great commission? Somebody tell me. One. Where was it located? Jerusalem. And this one church that Jesus Christ started was given the mandate to go into how much of the world? All the world, and preach the gospel to how many creatures? Every creature. So the question then becomes this. Did it happen? And if it did, could it happen again? Let's track this little church that got this great commission. Go to Acts chapter 1. We see her empowering here in verse number 8. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Notice what's said here. Jesus speaking to the apostles, he's risen from the dead now. And look at what he says to them in verse number 8. He says, but ye shall receive power. Now this is different than authority, this is ability. power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be, what's the purpose of the Holy Ghost filling here? Witnesses unto me, where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Then look at that, he reconfirms the commission, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here's the church getting empowered in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. What happens? Look with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter preaches the day of Pentecost in verse 41 of Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow, there's a revival meeting. So here we have this commissioned church to go get the gospel of the entire world. And their first big major meeting they have, 3,000 get saved. But how many churches are there at this point in Acts chapter 2? How many? Everybody say it. One. And where is it located? In Jerusalem. But there's a whole world out there to get the gospel to. So what happens next in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4? 5,000 get saved. This little church is really starting to grow significantly in a very short amount of time. But still just one church. He's in Jerusalem. There's a whole world out there. Now look with me in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, you see here the disciples, it says, and the word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now you're seeing the church multiplying. You're seeing priests actually getting saved. But how many churches are there at this point? How many? Just one. Where is it located? Church in Jerusalem. They haven't gotten to the whole world yet. Now watch this. Look with me this in Acts chapter 8. Look here. Here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned. There's a brief little tap about Saul at the end of chapter 7. But look with me in chapter 8. Saul is noted here in verse number 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That would be the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now, don't miss this. Except the apostles. Who got scattered at this moment in history? That first church of Jerusalem. Who got scattered? The members did. All the members got scattered. Who didn't get scattered? Leadership. Leadership stayed in Jerusalem, and the membership went out. You said, oh, they're running for their lives. They're hiding, making sure nobody finds them. Well, that's a pretty odd way to do it when you look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Here is your first major missions movement in the New Testament. It's not the Apostle Paul. It's an all-hands approach in the local church. And the entire local church scatters, going everywhere preaching Jesus, and the leadership stays behind. That's an opposite model of what we've got right now in many ways. Well, what happened out of that? Let's keep tracking it. You remember? How many churches are there at this point? Just one. Church of Jerusalem, but now it's been scattered. They're going and getting the gospel into Judea and Samaria. Notice with me what happens here in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Scripture tells us this, and it's the first time the word church is plural. Acts 9, 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and at the end of the verse, were multiplied. Well, here we see the churches go plural. From Acts chapter 8, verse 1, this is an easy study. The 3 years later, that's in one chapter you go 3 years, because Paul had to go to the backside of the desert for 3 years. Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 8. And he's backside of nowhere for 3 years and then pops back up right here. In 3 years, now churches are plural and they're multiplying. Notice with me in Acts chapter 19 what's said. Here's this gospel going out. It began at ground zero with the church of Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 19, notice with me, in verse number 8, it says, "And he," this would be Paul, "went into the synagogue." Paul's in there now. "He spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. Their hearts are hardened." And then notice what's said in verse 10, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." You could write down next to that verse, this was 20 years after that early church scattered. 20 years later, all of Asia now has heard the gospel. All of Asia has heard the gospel. Now watch this. Look with me in Colossians 1. In Colossians 1, when this was written, the Spirit of God through Paul, Colossians 1, now we are 32 years later after Acts chapter 8. So when they scattered, Acts chapter 8, the first major missions movement was an all-hands movement. Apostles stayed behind. It wasn't the Apostle Paul that was the great first missions movement. It was the local church going everywhere preaching Jesus. 32 years later, watch these two completion statements. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 6. Verse 5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel," verse 6, "which has come unto you, as it is in" how much of the world? All. You circle the word all. He said, go into all the world. There's the word all the world, "and bring it forth fruit, as it does also in you." And then look with me in verse 21. He repeats it again, "and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies your mind by wicked works," he's now reconciled, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel," here it comes, "which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister." Man, in Colossians chapter 1, do you see those two completion statements? Paul says the gospel has now come to all the world. Paul now says it was preached to every creature under heaven. You could literally say what we would say in the military, mission accomplished. The world's gotten the gospel in entirety. You know what's interesting is at that moment, the known world heard the gospel in entirety 32 years after Acts 8 when the church scattered. And they got the entire world, the mission was accomplished with no internet. The entire world heard the gospel with no fast means of transportation. The entire world heard the gospel with no printing presses. You ready for this one? And the gospel got to the entire world with no New Testament. The New Testament wasn't even in existence then. And yet the mission got accomplished from that single church that went into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. When I look at that, I think to myself, if it happened then, could it happen again? Can it? We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the completed Word of God. We have fast means of transportation. This world is so small today. I call my twin brother Doug and say, "Hey, how you boys doing?" "Oh man, they just came back from Cartagena, Colombia." "So what were they doing there?" "Oh, playing paintball in a drug lord's, complex." "Really? For the weekend? Wow. What are they doing next?" "Oh, they're flying to Monte Carlo next month to watch the Formula race." This world's very small. Where once it used to take a lifetime to get around, oh, you can do it really quickly now. We have the completed New Testament, the same Holy Spirit, the same good news. Jesus saves. He's risen from the dead. We have the internet. We have fast means of transportation. And yet, we're not getting the gospel to the entire world. Let's talk about that. I think this is a good thought tonight. My question would be, well, why not? You know, I think one of the major mistakes we're making today in our movement, and I'll stay with the Independent Baptist, is we've delegated the work of missions. We've delegated the giving of the gospel to the professional commissioned missionary that comprises less than 1% of our movement. It's almost like the Civil War days. We're going to go to battle, so here, I'll pay you. Go fight for me. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Faith Promise Missions. We give in a great way to Faith Promise Missions. I'm not talking about an either or, but what about an and both? You know, Baptists historically do not believe in clergy and laity. Could I get an amen there? Let's just make it better. Christians, historically, do not accept clergy and laity in a church. Amen? But there's something that does get similar. Here's a similar one. It's the military. There's officers and enlisted. What if we went to war and all we did was send the officers? The enlisted guys stayed back. Closest you get to that is the chair force. Go get them, sir. We'll patch your plane up when you come back. You know what I mean? That's the closest you'll get to it. But what if we just went ahead and said, we're going to go to combat. We're going to take out darkness. We're going to go ahead and keep our freedom free. And by the way, we're just going to send the officers, the enlisted guys, just to get to hang around. You don't even need to be a part of this. How many battles do you think we would win? We wouldn't. But that's exactly what we've done in many ways in our movement. We've decided the giving of the gospel is for those professional commissioned missionaries to do. We check the box when we throw the money in, but we think we're off the hook. Now, let me tell you why I know this. Because when I come into churches, I see Faith Promise Missions just keeps going up. But you can't dynamite people to give the gospel out in their Jerusalem. You call for, you know, a Millwood get-together here. Let's go ahead and let's all meet in the Millwood deal and give out the gospel. Now, I'm hoping y'all show up. Y'all with me? But, I mean, I go to churches all the time. Pastor says visitation Saturday. He shows up. One other person shows up. You got another 109 people, and they're not showing up. Now, that doesn't mean they're doing it every day. It's probably an indication they're not doing it hardly at all. We got this idea that if we give to Faith Promise Missions, we've checked the missionary responsibility box, and now we've done our job for the Great Commission. You are deceiving yourself if you think your job is done because you gave just to Faith Promise Missions. I thought to myself, take your notes, fill this in. What was the ratio? What was the ratio in that early church? The pattern of the gospel. Look at that back part of your notes there. You know what? Begin in Jerusalem and went out to how much of the world? The entire world. Write that word in there. This single church gave the gospel and got it out 32 years later to the entire world, and it was giving the gospel, planting churches, training men. It just became this nuclear chain reaction, this giving of the gospel, until 32 years later, all the world, mission accomplished, has heard, every creature's heard. How big was the church of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8 when they scattered? Well, I'll save you the math. It was about 25,000 members. Write it down. It was a big church. It's about 25,000. You had 5,000, 3,000. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it was about 700 probably is about the size of that church. You just got to run through the Gospels to figure this out. But it was probably about 25,000 people that scattered and began to give the gospel to the world. How big was the world? 300 million souls. I wrote it down there. Which simply means this. The ratio was 1 per 12,000. That was the ratio. In other words, for every individual in that church in Jerusalem that was to get the gospel out, there were 12,000 souls out there that needed to hear. It was a 1 per 12,000. And yet they did it with no internet, no fast means of transportation, no New Testament, no printing presses. Amen? Nothing but the Spirit of God and a desire to get out the wonderful message Jesus saves. So let's look at our nut to crack. What is the current world population right now? I wrote it in your notes. What is it? 8 billion. What about American churches? You know, we got about 10,000 independent Baptist churches in America. Give or take, we got about 10,000 of us. And I'm going to stay with the independent Baptists. I'm not going to go with the Bible churches. Some of them preach the gospel. Y'all with me? I'm just going to stay with us. We're kind of the Marine Corps of Christianity. I said it the other night, you know. But we'll just stay with us. There's about 10,000 of us. What's the average membership in churches ever since America was founded? About 67. That's the average membership. The megachurch philosophy is really kind of new. The Church of Jerusalem notwithstanding. So if you took 67 times 10,000, what's the number? 670,000. There's 670,000 of us in America right now, independent Baptists. Divide that into 8 billion. You know what the ratio is? 1 per 12,000, the exact same ratio the Church of Jerusalem had to get the gospel to the entire world. This is doable. But it's not going to happen if all we're going to do is send the missionaries to do it for us. Amen? This is an all-hands approach. We need to have, and I'm sorry, Brother Bill, the closest you get to this, Department of the Navy, Marine Corps, but this hunts. I remember seeing an interview one time. They were interviewing a Marine aviator, an F-18 Hornet pilot. And they went ahead and they asked that Marine, "Excuse me, sir, what do you do in the Marine Corps?" Here he is in his flight skins. He's got his helmet there, you know, G-suit, oxygen mask, everything ready to roll, his jet sitting behind him. And that guy had the nerve to say this. "Well, basically," he said, "I'm a rifleman. But I fly jets on the side." There is the heart of the Corps. We would say it all the time. Every Marine's a rifleman. The cook is a rifleman. The pilot is a rifleman. The Remington Raider, that was number one. Every Marine's a rifleman. They do some on the side. But could I bring that to us? The day Jesus saved you, could I just say this? Every one of you is a witness and a missionary, and you do something else on the side. Brother Pete, if I come in here and say, "Hey, what do you do here at church?" "Well, I'm the sound man." "No, you're not. You're a witness and a missionary. You run sound and tow trucks on the side." "Pastor, what do you do here?" "Well, I pastor the church." No. You are a witness and a missionary, number one. You pastor the church on the sly. You pastor it on the side. You all with me? Brother Fred, what do you do? "Well, I work a job out here." No. You are a witness and a missionary, number one, and you do a job out there on the side. This is an all-hands approach. You know how that early church got the gospel to the entire world? And listen, we didn't count the Filipino churches. They got about 25,000 of them over there in the Philippines. They're sending more missionaries than we are right now. They have more zeal than we have. But I'm just counting us. This is a doable job. But we can't wait to let somebody else as a missionary go out and do it. We are all witnesses and missionaries, and then we do other things on the side. I thought, wow, what would that look like? I don't care the size of the church. What would that look like if you took this truth personally as membership? Well, it would look like this. I wrote it down. For every organized church outreach, you'd be there. This Millwood thing, man, preacher's going to have to say, "I can't have y'all at once. We can't fit you in there." That ought to be the result of that thing. Y'all with me? Anything the church has organized, flea markets, fairs, outreaches, just great involvement. Number two, personal outreach daily. I still love giving my story. You guys remember that? I give 3 principles of the harvest. Deb and I have given out, coming up on 9,000 of these. And I've only one time seen it rejected out of 9,000. And the results have been phenomenal. Over here, what is that, Rocket Bakery? I walked through the smoke yesterday. That way, whatever. All right, that way. Rocket Bakery. I walked over there. And man, I gave out 2 of these while I was there, and I missed the one guy with the military cover. He was a sailor, and I got out before I could get to him. But man, people don't turn them down. It would look like that, personal evangelism. I'm a missionary. When I meet people, I got to ask, man, do I need to give them the truth? Y'all with me? It would look like this: Bible studies, prayer times in your neighborhood. Going ahead and invite the newcomers in for dessert. My daughter Kimberly will go ahead and invite the neighbors for coffee and dessert once or twice a year, just to get to know them for one purpose, so she can get the gospel to them. Amen? It would look like this: rest home services. It would look like what Brother Bill's talking about, getting down to the veterans on the street and getting to some of those areas. Man, that's an opportunity. Those are souls just as much. I asked Deb one time, well, who's more valuable? You know, a bum on the street to Jesus, or some guy in corporate America? They're equally valuable. Amen? They're a soul whom Jesus died for. Some of you guys are techie geekies. Man, what an opportunity on the internet to get the gospel out. Y'all with me? I'm being serious. You can do that. One of the things we saw happen when COVID hit and everybody finally had to be Paul Chapel and actually get all their electronics up and running. Man, there are people tuning in getting saved. Church services that had nothing better to do, so they started tuning into services and getting picked off and getting saved. You know what else it would look like? Going on a mission trip yourself. Amen? Go to a third world mission. You got Haman Rodero over in the Philippines. Go join Haman over there. He's planted four churches in a number of years. But that costs money. You know, isn't that our problem? The one thing we have, the most the world doesn't have, is what's ruining our Christianity. We're chasing God and mammon, wealth and materialism. And we have the wherewithal to go somewhere that they couldn't go. And you know what? They got something we don't have. It's joy. Deb and I are going on our first third world missions trip in January. Medical missions. Cape Verde. Can't wait to go. It's out of our pocket. We want to just go and just taste it. And then 2 years from now, start bringing our grandkids to medical missions and underwriting them 65% and starting to see them get taste in the world. Y'all with me? I mean, listen. We've got a young lady in North Carolina right now. She was there, 36 years old, couldn't find a guy. It's hard to get good guys today, young ladies. This is gonna, you know it. Guys are messed up with all the junk porn and stuff that's messing them up, and so they're not. And so you know what? They're getting tired of waiting. So you know what they're doing? They're going part time to go help missionaries. This young lady knows the international sign language. Her name's Julia. And in fact, I've got her card right here. And she found out in Liberia, Africa, 20% of all children are deaf from disease. So on her dime, she flew herself over, and she's spending this year working with the missionary and the missionary's wife, helping the kids and signing to win those kids. And that's her. That's a her picture of them kids. They're loving on her. And she wrote us. We helped support her and get her over. She wrote us and said, man, I am living the dream. This is absolutely amazing. Come around Christmas. Go to the mall. Sing Christmas songs as a church. They'll let you do that. You with me? They'll throw you out if you try anything else. But man, you start singing. Yep, go ahead and hand. I want you to recognize this. Man, we are all missionaries. We're all witnesses. We do something else on the side. Amen? That first major missions movement was not leadership. It was not the Apostle Paul. It was the common church member. They went everywhere preaching Jesus. It was an all-hands approach. Amen? If you're saved, you're a missionary and a witness. You don't have to get paid to do this. We have a guy in Fairbanks, takes 2 months off every year. He's 3 years older than me, 67. He flies himself over to Africa, buys a motorcycle, buys medical supplies. He's not a pastor. He's not a missionary. He's just a common church member. And for 2 months, 8 weeks, he preaches across Africa at the churches his church supports, missionaries. And at the end, he goes ahead and gifts his motorcycle to a preacher and flies himself home all on his dime. I'm telling you, stretch the thought. You're a missionary. You're a witness. It's an all-hands approach. Amen? Oh, yeah. And boy, these young kids come to you and hit you up for money. I tell them all the time. I say, come on, go. In fact, it happened. I flew into that teen camp, and that little girl from Heartland was there. She second year. I said, what are you going to be doing? She says, I want to do missions, world mission. I'm heading to a mission field here in another year. I just don't have the money for it right now. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, why can't you go? She said, I don't have a passport. I said, really? What's a passport cost? We looked it up, $186 or something like that for the processing fee. I said, when I get back, I will write you a check for $186, and I'm going to send it to you so you can get your passport and start doing missions part-time. I make it very public. Young people come to me. Stop and think for a moment. Young people, they want to be challenged. They really do. You know how I know that? Because when 9/11 happened, they signed up in droves to die for us. You know why they did it? Because they saw a cause worth dying for, to give their life for. And you and I should see that, and we should encourage that with all our young people. Kids, grandkids, we should just be pushing that. You know what I'm saying? And young people come to me, Brother Bill, they'll say, oh, Brother Dave, but I don't have any money. I said, just go hit the old people up. They got money. It's the one thing they got. They got money and they got time. And you know what? Maybe you're getting too old to go fly halfway across the world to a third world mission. Maybe you're to that point, health won't allow you to. But you ought to be seeking out some of that young generation and encouraging them to go, funding them for part-time trips. And then you ought to go ahead as well. When Help Ministries comes through, man, you ought to be a part of that. And before Help Ministries comes through, you ought to get to Millwood and this stuff. And this is an all-hands approach. This is what we're here for. This world needs Jesus Christ. Amen? I wrote down in the bottom of the notes, what if your church was the only church in the world today? Because there was a time, there was only one. Church at Jerusalem. And you're responsible to get this good news to the entire world. No other churches, no other missionaries. You're the starting point. You're ground zero. Would this world be safe in your hands? Would you be able to say, I've done what he called me to do. I've operated as a missionary, and I've operated as a witness. Amen? Keep giving the faith promise. Man, I'm a byproduct of that. I hope you don't quit doing that. But don't think for one second you're off the hook just because you threw some money in faith promise. This is an all-hands approach. All the time, we need to be soul conscious and be a part of this rescue operation. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed for just a moment. Again, I think the major mistake that we have made in our movement is we've committed the giving of the gospel to just those professional commissioned officers that really comprise less than 1% of our entire movement. We've not even considered that we're called to do the very same thing on a constant basis. Like every Marine's a rifleman, Christian, every one of us tonight is a witness and a missionary. We do something else on the side. We do something else on the side. We're a witness and a missionary first to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Let's just pause and let the Lord put that one in our heart tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You ask the Lord to give you that heart that would say, yeah, I want to be that witness. Lord, I want to be that missionary. I want to pay the debt, but I want to herald the good news. Lord, give me multiple ways to do this. Beginning in my Jerusalem, right here. People I come in contact with. People I meet every day. Help me to be that witness and missionary. One of the reasons God saved you was for that. Father, we thank you for those that long before us determined that they were called. They considered that now that they're saved, they're to give the gospel out, whether commissioned or not. And Lord, we thank you for this example in Acts chapter 8, that it was an all-hands approach. Every one of the members went everywhere preaching Jesus. The leadership stayed behind. Help us as your people to see our responsibility, not only to go across the sea, maybe by way of a missionary, but to go around the corner and across the sea. Help us, Lord, to be that witness right here where we are. And the Lord, consider expanding that in a great way to be a part of this outreach to the entire world. Lord, forgive us where we've just been content to let people pass us by, to let souls just continue on, not to be involved in a rescue and recovery operation. Lord, forgive us for oftentimes just paying somebody to do that job and, Father, not personally getting involved ourselves. Father, as I look back in time, the man who awakened me and you used wasn't a pastor, wasn't a missionary. He was a fellow Marine. Just another one of the boys. A Christian who decided to ask me if I knew where I was going. Lord, help us to be that. To be a witness and a missionary first as we do other things on the side. Help us to buy into this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I'd like to sing this song. I think it's a good one. It's page 316 and page 316. Brother Emerson, could you come and just chord it? I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I think that's an easy chord. I think that's an easy one. Speaking as a trumpeter, not as a guitarist, I think that's an easy one. I hope it is. But let's close our meeting out with this song. It's page 316. It's a sweet little song. Page 316. Brother Fred, you come up and sing it with me. You come up and sing it with me, the two of us. I steered you wrong on one of those songs tonight. I was bellowing out totally the wrong stuff. And everybody else is on a different page, so maybe between us we can get this, all right? 316. All right. I have decided to follow Jesus. We'll sing all three verses. Okay, brother, give me what key are you in? Key of C?
G.
Can you put it in the key of C? It's written in the key of C. There it is. There it is. That's your key. Yep. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though turning back. No turning back. The world behind me that crossed before me. The world behind me that crossed before me. The world behind me that crossed before me. No turning back. No turning back. Heads bowed, eyes closed, music playing softly. Here's your opportunity just to respond if you'd like to. Just give you an opportunity to respond. Music's playing softly. Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. All hands approach. You are a witness and a missionary first. You do something else on the side. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. Say it one more time, brother, one more time through. Sing the first verse, and we'll close with that. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. All of God's people said, amen. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Amen? Buy into these truths. Been a blessing. Thank you for being a blessing to us and your faithful prayers and support. We're one of the commissioned ones you send. I'm telling you, join the fray. Amen? Don't count on guys like me to get this truth to the entire world. We all need to be in this conflict, in this battle. We're on the winning side. Amen? Join the fray. Join the fray. Pastor, amen.
Thank you.